discuss who suffers the loss in events, unforeseen circumstances prevent the work being finished. Who suffers the loss in events, unforeseen circumstances prevent the work being finished? Does the worker have to suffer the loss, not get paid? Or does the balabayas, the one who ordered the work, he have to pay for not exactly the work he wanted? So we'd be talking about both types of scenarios. Okay, so let's start with our first case. Reuven hired a sofer to write a Sefer Torah. The agreement was the sofer would buy the klaf with the money provided to him by Reuven. So basically the klaf belongs to Reuven. And then the sofer would receive payment for the Sefer Torah. The first payment would be after he had finished already half the Sefer Torah. The next payment would be at the completion of the Sefer Torah. Just before the sofer was going to receive his first payment, i.e. he had already written half the Sefer Torah, he was involved in a traffic accident, which led to a situation where he had damaged his hand in such a way he could no longer continue writing Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzah. He had no chance now, he had no longer the ability to write the Sefer Torah. So we're now in a situation where the Sefer Torah was half completed. The sofer is now saying, I can't complete the Sefer Torah because I'm physically unable to complete the Sefer Torah because of the injury which I occurred. But here's half the Sefer Torah, and I would like payment for half the Sefer Torah which I wrote. So let's repeat the case. So sofer came in. He bought klaf on behalf of Reuven, belonged to Reuven now, the klaf. He was hired to write the Sefer Torah. First payment would be after half the Sefer Torah would be written. And just before he got payment for that first half, he was involved in a traffic accident, which meant he could no longer continue writing the Sefer Torah. But he made a claim that here's half the Sefer Torah, I've written half the Sefer Torah, I've done your work for half of it, I would like payment for half the Sefer Torah at least. Reuven, who ordered the Sefer Torah, said back to the sofer, says, I don't want a Sefer Torah which is written by two separate sofrim. To me, it's not a nice Sefer Torah. And there is such a thing in Halacha, that to have a Sefer Torah written by two different types of handwriting is not exactly the nicest Sefer Torah that you could have. So I would not like to pay for any of the Sefer Torah. I'll just hire somebody else.
Isn't there a thing in the Torah too
to write a Sefer Torah from scratch?
There's an
Indian to be considerate. If you want stocker, I'm willing to give stocker. But to give half the value of a Sefer Torah, you know, Sefer Torah can be all different types, levels, $30,000, $50,000, yes, to give half the value of Sefer Torah to Sefer Torah, which in my eyes, which has some sort of halakhic basis to it as well, it's not nice to have a Sefer Torah written by two different handwritings. Therefore, I would not like to pay for the Sefer Torah in its present state.
His klaf, and he's going to take the loss on the klaf?
Yeah, he'll take the loss on the klaf. Okay, I'll be nice, I'll take the loss on the klaf. You can keep the Sefer Torah, you try and sell it to somebody else. That's what the Devil of Isis is saying. The Reuven is saying. No, so what does one think? Firstly, any initial thoughts?
Never. What be much from the guy.
Never, yeah.
But was it? Is he hired as a on an hourly rate? Obviously not. It's not an hourly rate. To finish the Sefer Torah,
and it's paid basis on the concept of how that I'm going to get a Sefer Torah at the end of the day.
Yeah.
The payment is done in different time periods. After half the Sefer Torah, at the end, some sofrans do it different way. After each omud they receive at the end of the month, different sofrans have different ways of time frame. But the idea was, I'm paying for Sefer Torah.
So if the guy turned around, would have said, "I'm not finishing it." So you wrote here, nothing happened. You just said, "I don't want to do it anymore."
Okay, so then you didn't provide the work which I ordered, and therefore I don't want the paper.
That's the deal.
Yeah.
Yes. In other words, he wrote half. He's not getting paid for half. He's getting paid for whole. We're just splitting up the payments.
Yes.
Two, making it easy for him.
You said that the klaf belonged to the bow.
The klaf belonged to the roofer. Yes. And he's because he paid for it. He paid for the klaf. That's what most sofrans do at the beginning. They go and buy the klaf. They buy the sofrans get the klaf with the money provided. Right at the beginning. Yes.
Is to pay the amount of the Sefer Torah less what it would take another sofer to finish. Although there is a halacha preference, but he still did provide.
If it provides something which I don't want. That's what he's saying. Now, if it's something which no one cares about, and you have some sort of something in your head that it bothers you, then we say to him, look, you can't have such a bother of saying I don't want a service. Well, everyone has it, you'll just act not normal, so therefore you can't say that. But over here there is such a thing in halacha, a concept in halacha. It's not so nice to have a Sefer Torah written by two different people. So we've already said, the sofa over here was hired to provide a Sefer Torah. He wrote half, onus happens, now he can't complete the other half. Yes? He was paid for the half. Yes? But the setup of the deal was to provide the Sefer Torah and you'll get $50,000. At the end of the day, he didn't provide the Sefer Torah, he only provided half the Sefer Torah, which can't be completed. So who suffers the loss? It can't be completed by him, it can be completed by another sofa. Which the Reuven who ordered the Sefer Torah doesn't want, because it's not nice to have a Sefer Torah written in two different types of handwriting.
Oh, so he's not going to complete the Sefer Torah at all?
No, because he's injured. He's injured. He's out of. Onus happens.
No. The purchaser is not going to complete the Sefer Torah.
He's not interested. You keep it, and I'll hire some other person to write a Sefer Torah from scratch.
Does it matter who caused the accident?
Yeah.
Does it matter who caused the accident?
It was a complete, nothing to do with Reuven or the sofa.
No, I'm saying, was the accident was because of poor driving? Or
no, it wasn't, there's nothing to do with the sofa. It's complete onus. Complete onus. So who suffers, that's the whole shine of this year. Who suffers the loss in events? Unforeseen circumstances prevent the work being completed. That's the whole story.
Well, let's see.
And then you pay the money, you get one safety. Get a safety to finish it.
Which he doesn't want, yes.
Sell the safety.
Okay, so you're saying it's the sofa has to, so it's the sofa has to suffer. That's what you're saying.
The sofa is already suffering. You can't write anymore.
Yeah, okay.
So let the other guy suffer with the that can happen, Mina Shemayim. Okay. Have Mina Shemayim.
So who's lost? Is it? Yeah. Both? What?
Why does it have to be anybody's loss?
Someone worked for half a year doing the same thing. He didn't get paid.
Her is worth money.
He didn't get paid for it.
Sell it to someone else.
So who has to? Who's got the job to sell it? The Balabar says, I'm not interested in this, I'm not going to pay. But you keep the Sefer Torah, you deal with it, try and sell it to no one. The sofa is saying, here, I provided half the work, you pay me for half, and you can do what you like with half the Sefer Torah. If you want to continue, if you want to sell it, you sell it. Who has to be involved in the tircha of trying to get money out of the Sefer Torah?
Another point is, sorry, is he's asking for half the money that was original, or could he get the money that now would be of a Sefer Torah is written by two different people.
Of course he can't ask charge for more than the value of the Sefer Torah,
going to be.
Which is now. Yes?
Well, now.
Which is, it's gone down in value. Right. It's definitely gone down in value, which means he can't charge, obviously, for work provided, which is not, it's not its value. Yes?
But if you're saying the cloth belongs to the purchaser.
Yes.
So, it seems to be a case where he improved somebody else's property. And so, the title is because the value of the improvement.
It's no improvement.
You'll say it's not an improvement.
Well, it is. You ruined my much more
you,
now.
You ruined my that cup.
It's not ruined.
It's not what I wanted more. My cup to be. And it's not interested in this cup. You ruined my cup. You know, you can keep the cup. You can keep the cup. Okay, you can keep the cup. I don't want this cup.
You don't say that by choosing the tree.
He's not happy.
If it's not normal to have the tree in the field, we say you can say you can keep, take out your trees. Yeah.
Normal to have ink on cloth.
Not ink half written by one sofa and half written by another sofa.
Not normal to have more than one sofa.
No, no, no. It's not considered good at all. So let's start. So the Gemara Bava Metzia says like this. Sanya, we learnt Hasuch es hapol. If you hire a worker, lechatzia yom shomer shemes lemes, osho ochoso chamam. Half of the day he became an oval, the worker, or he got very ill. Im socher, if he's a hired laborer, day laborer, ten oschar, then give him according to how much he worked. $100 an hour, $100 an hour. In kaplanu, if he's a worker to provide a finished product. No son, no kaplan or so. Then you give according to how much of a finished product he provided. Only half, half.
You're not defining fear and kaplan like you did last time?
No. Now, so it says from this Gemara, Reiser, that if an onus happens, then the balabai still has to pay according to how much work was provided. But is obviously a very different from our scenario. Why? Because Rishonim points out over here that he did actually provide work which the Balabai has got benefit from. And we're trying to work out, okay, he can't finish it off and now he has to find somebody else to complete the work. Does he still have to pay the first guy even if it costs him more to complete the work? You say you do, because you're taking what you have been provided and you're using it. You're using the work which was provided. It wasn't complete, but you're still using it, so therefore you have to pay. But in our scenario, what's the halacha? So that we have a Shulchan Aruch, which is based on a Mordechai. It says like this. Shliach shohayonosa egeres v'scha u'motza taga. A shliach, somebody who's hired to take a letter, deliver a letter in a faraway distance. And on the journey, he found a taga. What's a taga? There was a mukhoma, there was a wall which prevented him completing his job. He took the letter, he got 3/4 of the way there, wall broke out, no way of going through, had to go all the way back, and now he wants to be paid for 3/4 of the job. But the Balabais, obviously over here, had no benefits. Nira Dahavi Peseda the pole. The one who loses here is the worker. Bain, Hoyulishlem the Yotta, Onus Bain the Hoyushlem the Yotta. Whether it's something you could predict could happen, whether both of them could not predict it could happen, then the one who loses it, loses out, is the worker. Hakol Ami Beseda to Polim. This is the problem of the worker.
That's not the same case as ours.
So we see from here. We see from here. Two extremes. The Gemara says, if somebody provides you work but doesn't complete it because of an onus, then you have to pay him if you're going to use that work. The Mordechai, which the Shulchan Aruch brings down, says, if somebody does work for you, majority of the work, but ends up being an onus which meant you had no benefit from any of the work provided, then the one who loses is the worker and he receives nothing from his wages. So what is our case of the Sefer Torah comparable? Which case is the Sefer Torah comparable? So the case of the Brisa, or the case of the Shulchan Aruch?
Value. There is value in
what has been completed so far. So you say the... Anyone else? We're talking about wages for the job provided, not for buying goods. Yeah. So, no one's got opinions here?
What does no sin, no kabbalah, no soul means?
You have to give according to how much he provides it out of the work. He
so there's no difference between a sphere and
no,
a
kabbalah? No, then there's no difference. That's the most.
So why does this differentiate?
Because in other halakhas there are differences, and it's pointing out here there's no difference.
Well, here.
The club is the Sefer Torah. It's my club, which I hired. Basically, I hired you to write the Sefer Torah, and you only wrote half, and I don't want that half.
I'd say it's to this person, it's valuable.
It's not valuable because he could sell it. But let's say the guy was sent to send two letters, and one he got through, and one he didn't.
So then he did a job for one of them. So one of them I would pay for.
So he did a job for half of the Sefer Torah.
But that's worth nothing.
It's not worth nothing.
No, to him it's worth nothing.
It's not worth nothing to him.
It's worth nothing.
It's not worth nothing to him. He can sell it.
No, to him
it's worth nothing. It is not worth nothing.
But that's not what he was hired for. That's not.
That's
he
a different story.
He did zero of his job. He did zero of his job.
No.
He didn't even get one letter. He gave no letters. This man hired him for a Sefer Torah completely written by him. And he gave him not that.
He didn't give him what he hired him for. He gave him something.
No, but that's not the case of the letter. The case of the letter, he did half of his job. Here he did none of his job.
No, the case of the letter, I understand. But
he did none of his job.
None of the job he asked for, but he did give him something.
But this is not a question about giving you some value. This is the case of the Bryce is the guy did some of the work he was supposed to do. Here, at the end of the day, it turns out he didn't do any of the work he was supposed to do.
Okay. So let us define
but
it openly.
You compare it to the letter case either, because there he got nothing.
Let us define
it. He got nothing of value and nothing that was.
Yeah. Okay. So that's why it's not. We have to define it clearly. The job I asked you to do, you didn't do. That's everyone agrees. I asked you to give me a complete Sefer Torah. You gave me a half, and the half is not the same as a complete. Sai in the halacha as well. You did provide me half the Sefer Torah, which is worth value, but it's not what I asked. So what is it? It's a job which you did for me, which I didn't ask for you to do. What's the halach in such a case, which you've already learned
exactly
many weeks ago?
Not happy with it,
if I don't want it, I don't have to take it. So the work which I asked you to do, you never did one letter. The work which I didn't ask you to do, which you did do the work,
but
I don't
no,
want.
But
I'm not mechuyev to take because it's not what I hired you to do. I can say, go and take it and I don't want
the fellow that painted the apartment, he said that since you can't reverse that, then he doesn't have the option to say I don't want it.
Yeah,
you can't reverse the Sefer Torah that he wrote.
Yeah, you give it to him.
You take it. What?
Just
you
take it.
It's his cloth.
No, yes. But you,
it's
you,
his, the
you
cloth belongs to him. I
no,
know.
But
it's
here,
not mine.
No, it's not you can't reverse. He says that we don't know whether you're telling the truth or not over here. Over here, I'm saying, look, I'm not interested in the what you provided. Yes.
It's
an ink, yes. If you want me to keep the ink in my mahsan, fine, I'll keep the ink in my mahsan because the cloth belongs to me and the ink you can't remove, fine. But I'm willing to give you everything back, I'm giving you a token. You can take the cloth, you can take the ink, you can sell it on to anybody else, I'm not interested.
Oh, you're willing to give me the cloth?
Yes,
really?
I'm willing to give you the token.
Yes,
and you already paid for it?
Yes.
Okay,
I've shown you so much that I'm really not interested in what you provided. Get it, take the whole thing. Yes, never.
But he gets to keep the money for the cloth.
Yeah, he keeps the money for the cloth, yes.
So, Min Hadin,
Yes.
Why?
Min Hadin. Why? Because it's your cloth.
No. I'm getting back the cloth and I'm keeping the money at the same time.
Yes, because you're giving me a tofa. You want to give me a matana.
Let's say I don't want to give you a matzah. I want the klaf. I just don't want your Sefer Torah.
What do you want the klaf, which has writing on it, which you say is useless? What do you want to use it for?
I want the
what
half.
Do you want to use
I want
it
the
for?
Half that's still clean.
A half to suck in, you say that? Take the half to suck in.
You
can do that.
Okay. So you have to reimburse me because you ruined my klaf.
No, that's endless. Shus. Yes. I'm using half the house, and I want half the house. Here, I'm not interested. Yeah, if you want. If it's something which I can say, take it away. Where did I have such a case? I don't even remember half house. Oh, that's different. Different levels. Well, you're using it. There, you're using it. You're taking whatever he puts in. Here, you're not interested. Take it. Okay. So that is the halacha in such a case. Now let's move on and build up next case.
He doesn't have to pay him anything.
No, doesn't have to pay him anything.
Let's say he did not yet pay him for the clock. Would he be required to pay him for the clock?
If he hadn't yet paid for the clock, then the deal was I'm buying a Sefer Torah for you. That's more complicated. There's a part of in such a case it's split up into two deals. I'm buying and I'm hiring you to work. So how do we look at it? We'll discuss such a thing next week. Shimon was hired as a Ton Rabbani. Everyone know what Ton Rabbani is?
What word is it?
A Ton Rabbani.
Kohen Rabbani, okay. Yeah.
To represent his clients in Beistin. The deal was he would be paid $100 an hour. That is not the top rate for a Ton Rabbani.
Really?
No. $100 an hour. It's also not the top rate for a lawyer. Shimon had already worked on the case for 15 hours preparing it. Suddenly the other side died. And the claim, which was the other side was doing against the clients of the Ton Rabbani, was dropped due to death. Shimon, who was the Ton Rabbani, yeah, now comes with his bill. 15 hours, $1,500. His client says, what are you talking about? I never needed you. I don't have to pay for work which I don't need. It's an onus. Don't have to pay for that. Obviously the Ton Rabbani wants his money, so they go to Beistin. And
does he bring a Ton Rabbani?
Does he have to pay or not?
Partially he would have to pay because he doesn't pay him for a product. He pays him for a per hour.
Mm-hmm.
He's not paying for a product, he's paying per hour.
Because you feel it in your heart, or you want some way of explaining it.
Even if he lost the case, you would have to pay him. No, even if Ton Rabbani lost the case, you would have to pay him. So it's nothing to do with what the result is. It has to do with the effort involved.
Okay. Okay. Let us put what you say. Where's the Makor and Halacha? So it goes like this. Machne Ephraim brings down a Yushalmi. Number three. Somebody hires a worker to bring him wine for an ill person. If he brings the wine, then he has to pay for it. If he doesn't, because he gets there and is sold out, then he doesn't get paid. But if he says, bring me wine for this ill person from that place over there, but to puach lachola mumakim ploni bein hevi bein lo hevi chayv nitzino, whether he actually brings it to the end of the day or not, because due to unforeseen circumstances he won't be able to bring it because they sold out, he always gets paid. Why? Says Yushami, what's the difference? In the first case, he doesn't get paid if he doesn't bring it, even if it's unforeseen circumstances. In the second case, he does get paid even though he doesn't bring it. So it says Yushami, kan demei raglov nosen lo, kan lo demei raglov nosen lo. One, you're paying for the effort which he put into it. And one is you're paying for the product, the final product, the result.
But why is it called a product? Because you're like selling him one.
I'm asking, I give you money and ask you to go buy it. Are you my agent to buy it over there? So, says the Machne Ephraim, from here we see that if you're hired to get a result, then you don't get paid unless you produce the results. But if you're hired not to get a result, but you're hired based on how much effort you put in and how many hours you're going to put in, then you get paid even if the result doesn't get done at the end of the day for unforeseen reasons. You get paid according to the 100 hours, $100 an hour. That's what he said. So it's obvious what you're saying, but the Makar is from Yerushalmi.
Well, I wouldn't say always for unforeseen reasons. I mean, let's say he prepares the case and then he gets in a car accident, but he can't defend it. So I don't think he's going to pay him then.
Why?
Because you didn't do anything.
That's it?
No, but you were hired to represent me throughout. You represent me halfway. It's absolutely useless to me. Someone else
fine.
Has to start all over again.
Fine, but the deal was not to provide results or provide you a service. The deal was to, you are hiring me to work on your case for this amount of hours, and it's unlikely that I didn't provide something in your case, because I can give all the material which I did up to now.
Oh, if you can, that's something. But let's say you,
let's say you can't and everything looks good, he's in a coma or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So in such a case, he still gets paid to call this market.
I don't.
Because the deal was.
But there is something.
The deal was.
In other words.
The deal was that I'm paying you for how much effort you do in working on my case. So you worked on my case 15 hours. Some mina shemaim event happens. In this case, in your scenario, the one who will suffer the loss will be, because of the mina shemaim event, will be the one who hires
him. Let me take it to a further extreme. Let's say he works 15 hours in the case, then he says, I don't like you anymore, I'm not working for you.
Then it's not an onus.
It's not an onus, correct.
It has to be an onus.
What's the difference?
Unforeseen circumstances prevent it being carried out. Because if it's because of you backing out, then it's a din of you backing out. There's all different halachas of you backing out, which we're going to learn after Pesach. But there's all, you're backing out without any reason. So therefore, there's all different halachas. Onus, that's a whole share. Who suffers the loss because of onus? In the first case, the one who suffers the loss of the onus is the worker. In the second case, the one who suffers the loss of the onus is the one who has.
Let's take the combination. Like, for example, I do this all the time. You hire me to prepare a tax return. Are you going to pay me per hour however much I work on it?
Yes.
And then after 15 hours, an onus happens. So you also pay for it.
So there, if you say clearly, I want a result, and the way I'm working out how much to pay you for the result is on based on your hours, then we say that the everything at the end of the day is totally on the result. If you get the result, then you get paid how much, according to how much hours you put in order to get the result. And if you don't produce the result, you get paid zero in such a case. Because there we say clearly that the payment was for the result. You're just making a system how to work out how much to pay for that result. Some people give a flat fee. You're making a fee on the result is worth 15 hours of work labor in such a case. Depends how you set up the deal. If you want a specific result, then we need to get the results in order to get paid. Even if the system of payment or work, how much the result is worth, is done by hours, but that's nothing to do with the job hires.
So by going also, I'm asking for a result in that I'm expecting you to come to Basin and be going for me.
I'm asking you to work on my case and prepare me a case, which involves two stages. One is actual preparation of the case, and secondly is represent me in Basin. I didn't get to the representation in Basin. Okay, I did prepare the work as we went through.
Does one protect themselves? How would you protect themselves?
Who are you trying to protect? The worker or the one who
paying the towing bills and do the work for them. They don't know at the end.
So if you speak it out clearly. Yes?
Yeah, but no towing's ever going to work on the conditions like that.
Yeah. No, there is another way which the thing which cons do work on, and lawyers do the same. But it has to be a worthwhile case to do that. That means that sometimes the ton and the lawyer work on. Yes. You hear that?
What's that?
That
contingency.
Oh.
If I win, I get 30 half the.
Pro bono.
Right.
No, not pro bono.
No, not pro bono.
Contingency, right.
Usually, personal injury lawyers will do things on it.
Always.
You only get usually the money if you win.
If I win or settle, then I get a third.
Yes.
Mine.
So that's good for the clients.
Right,
that's good.
It's potentially a lot of money.
I'm looking for work for more.
Okay, so let's move on now to a slightly different case, more complicated case. A courier company was asked to deliver diamonds from Israel to Brazil. As the courier was leaving the airport in Brazil, they were held up by a gang of armed robbers, and the diamonds were stolen.
Is this an armed courier?
What? No.
Is it an armed courier?
The diamonds were stolen. Yeah. The courier service made a claim back to the owner that we spent our money on tickets going on the airplane. We even got to Brazil and were hired, just got robbed, not due to any of our mistakes, and therefore we still want to get paid for the job. Obviously, the owner of the diamonds is not happy to pay for the job.
I would be very happy to pay him and then call him a shomer socher and you're chayiv and gneivah v'eidah.
You're shomer socher even without paying him.
Why?
Because I hired you to do the job for payments. That
but
automatically
if you don't end up getting paid.
So that doesn't mean you're not shomer socher. Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
So does the courier get paid in such a case or not? For unforeseen circumstances, he couldn't finish the job.
But it's mamish the case of the Igeret.
If it's mamish the same case, I wouldn't be repeating it. You can think for a second or a minute to see whether it is the same or not. Are there anything different over here? Here we have a case. Hired the worker. Unforeseen circumstances, he couldn't finish the job. Owners, yeah. No benefits to the owner. All stolen. Stolen. Yeah, lost the loan. Does the owner have to pay? Surface of it, it's the same as the first case. He doesn't have to pay. Yes. No benefits. It's not paid for the hour, it's paid for the job done.
Why wasn't he hiring to give him diamonds?
We're not addressing that. I think he is kind.
Okay, we'll address that in a second. Let's say he isn't. Tell me what's in respect to his wages. I will explain in minutes why he's not hired for the diamonds. Okay. Time's up. So, the Gemara in Bava Metzia says like this: B'nei ha'ir sheshalchu eshak lehem. The city collected money for the Beis Hamikdash, and they sent it with a courier to the Beis Hamikdash. V'nignavu osha ovtu, and it got stolen on the way. Nishpoin lebnei ir. The halacha is the courier has to make a shvur to the city who they're working for that it got stolen. Aye, you got your question. Nignavu, it's got stolen. We learned shomer socher b'gneiva v'eidah chayiv mechayivi. A shomer socher, somebody is hired to do a job, is considered like he's hired to look after it, and somebody's hired to look after it is negligent in respect to when it gets stolen, and he has to compensate for the loss. So how can you say they can collect their wages if they make a shvur that it's stolen? If it's stolen, they have to pay themselves. How can they get paid? Omer Rabba Nignavu Belistin Mizurin. It was stolen with Listin Mizurin. What's Listin Mizurin?
Armed robbers.
Armed robbers. It's a type of Geneva which is considered an onus. A Shomasocha. Not responsible for any unforeseen circumstances, like an oons. So, he, the courier, is not hired to pay for the diamonds, for the shkolim, because it's an onus. And not only that, says the Gemara, they make a shvur that it happened event, and then they can get paid themselves for the job we've invited. Now, I'm giving you a second chance over here. Second chance. Here the Gemara says that you do get paid. Aye, they were not hired by the hour, they're hired to get a result, and they got no results because of unforeseen circumstances. Why is this different from the Mordechai, which says in such circumstances that you don't get paid? Why, says the Gemara over here, you do get paid? You can't say Mordechai argues on the Gemara, so somehow the Mordechai is going to learn this Gemara. That is not in conflict with him. In what way is this different from the Mordechai's case? Yes, it doesn't matter. Sometimes they have to pay Shkolim again because they said Hari Alai. Yeah, so they're Chayv and Acharas. They're obligated to themselves to give Shkolim, and therefore they have to fulfill that obligation whether it was stolen or lost the first lot batch or not.
It's different
than
the diamonds.
How is it different from the Mordechai? Yes.
I hear there was much more expenditure in the game.
That fellow was going anyway, right? He was going for knows.
A guy with a letter may have travelled all over the seas to deliver it, yeah.
He was an accident.
And Napoleon came along.
Mordechai
says he doesn't get paid because there was no benefit at the end of the day. The result wasn't provided.
He brings back the letter.
Now we're getting somewhere. So how does that make a difference?
Listen. You don't have the ability to go to bed.
Right.
And here, everything's stolen.
That should be worse. Why does he didn't do his job?
You don't have the ability to complete the task of the letter.
Worse,
here,
better.
It should be worse.
Here, the product...
That's the difference. Now the rule is, when you find the difference, that's the difference. Now you have to work on why this difference makes a difference.
If you have the letter, here you don't have the diamonds. You're showing. Here you have the letter existed. At the end of the day,
so it's worth that you don't have the diamonds.
Now would they? They got paid. They have to go and do it again.
No.
No.
In terms of your task,
how about the giving the letter? Does he have to go back and try again?
He's not getting paid.
He's not getting paid. If he could theoretically now go back.
He's up to want to do a new deal. You can do a new deal. Okay. Very good. We saw the difference. So the Nesivas Hamishpat explains.
Wait a minute. Could Rabba say Listen Mazuyan if we said Obdu?
Obdu, the Gemara says the ship sank. Listen Mazuyan for Geneva and for Obdu. Onus.
Okay,
so the Nesivas explains the meaning of this difference. Number 5. Venera. In the case of the letter, whose onus was it? It was the shliach. A war stopped him from going further. It's an onus which happened to the worker. Oz ain sok l'shalim lo. Then you don't have to pay him. I feel a marshal also, even though he did three quarters of the job. Because you got no benefit from it. But if the onus happens to something, to the balabayas, vadai sok l'shalim lo. For sure he has to pay. Masha also what he did. The man on the pole, Masha Nevis of Balabais. Why does the worker have to lose because an onus happens to the Balabais? I feel like a shrew then the Balabais, even if the Balabais doesn't get any benefits at the end of the day, sock the shalom. Now I've read it. Do you understand it? Would have to.
Why is it called the onus for Balabais? Even though it's his property, but it's an onus. I know, but it's an onus to the shliach too. They're saying you can't go any further.
Who loses more out of this?
Balabais.
That's what determines.
What would happen? What if the letter? What if the letter?
A pen. There's no value in the pen. But the shliach letter would have made $1 million.
What if the letter would have had to be there by some time? And the letter had to be there by some time.
That's the problem. Why isn't that letter there?
Also,
no, that's a result of the onus that happened to the pole. It affected the balabas. Let's look at the action. Let's look at what happens. The pole was trying to get from one place to the other place. As far as the balabas goes, he can fly, he can go on the boats, he can do whatever you like. I'm not interested in how you get there. Yeah? But what happened? The way the pole decided to walk, the mechoma got in front of him. So therefore that's clearly a attack on the pole's job. So therefore it's an onus which happened to the job of the pole. Nothing to do with the balabais. My letter's fine. I'm not interested in how you get choose your path to get there. Therefore the onus only happens to the pole in such a case. But in a case where my object got stolen, of course the onus happened to me. I had a side effect that meant that the worker couldn't finish, but the Ica onus happened to the balabais' own tapers. So what are we basically saying, in other words, is that we have to define whose onus was it. If it was the onus of the worker, then it's ke'ilu, the worker backed out of the job. He was forced to back out of the job when the balabais wanted to continue. So therefore the worker has to suffer the loss. But if it's an onus in relative to the work, the balabais, then it's ke'ilu the balabais backed out of the job when the worker is saying, I'm still willing to do the job. So therefore you're backing out, well, I'm still willing to do, so of course you have to pay according to what I've done.
This guy didn't have any insurance on his job.
I tell you, it doesn't really matter.
It
doesn't matter.
Because if he had insurance at the time, yes, he's going to still get it. It doesn't matter to him. It's going to matter to this courier service because they're going to get a bad name now that they took this thing and they're going to come up. So it's worse for them. It
doesn't matter, I tell you what. Yeah, this is what it means. The onus which happens to the balabais, we say it's muzzle to balabais gorim. You backed out, it's your muzzle which caused you to back out. It's not my muzzle. Milchama is the muzzle of the pole, because he decided to go over here in this scenario, so therefore it was prevented from him. Nothing happened to me. Now, as far as your case of insurance, why does it matter, insurance, whether he gets paid or not? By insurance. What's insurance got to do with how to define the onus? If the etzem, the onus, is in the object, my object, and I happen to have a insurance policy, doesn't redefine what the onus was.
Let me ask you a question. Let's say somebody comes over to me.
We'll have a whole shirim on the insurance and how it works.
It says, I'm going to shoot you unless you burn down Reuben's house.
Fine, that's the Gemara and the Baba Kama.
So it's mutter for me to burn down Reuben's house, but do I have to pay him for that?
You can't, yes, for sure. You have to pay him.
So that's exactly what happened here. Because he said, I'm going to shoot you if you don't give me his diamond.
That's not the same. They coming, the Gemara also says over there, the same case like this, and it says, the Gemara, can we talking about, and the Baba Kama, nothing to do with Bashir. If the Ganav comes because of the diamonds, they know that's by you, then they're coming because of the diamonds, and therefore it's not the person's fault he can give it over, even if under threat of life, he can give it over. But and the diamonds which brought the gun.
Oh, he can give it over, but he's not.
No, because he's not qualified to pay. Because who brought this gun of the diamonds? Who the diamonds belong to? You. So you brought the gun up on yourself. That's the Gemara says in Baba Kama.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay. We'll just give this case for you to think until next week. Leah was getting married, and she bought material for her special wedding dress. She hired a specialist seamstress to make the dress, to create the wedding dress. After the dress was finished, before it was picked up, there was a fire in the next door shop, which spread rapidly to the shop of the seamstress. The fire brigade came, they put out the fire, but there was a lot of damage, and one of the dresses which was damaged was this dress which the seamstress had worked on for many, many hours to create. Does she get paid for the job or not?
Pashtos, yes.
Again,
Leah bought material, gave the material to the seamstress. Seamstress created after many hours the dress, and just before she was going to give it over, get paid, a fire broke out, damaged the dress, and it ended no more dress. Does she get paid for the dress she created? We'll see. Is the Gemara in? Which Gemara? Kiddushin. Okay. There you go. Okay. We'll see you next week. Think about it.